The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Well, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, that you know that our lineup of great guests is the responsibility of Peggy. Peggy is the one who gets all these great guests. Lately, she's been hitting the ball out of the park. She's had her own little World Series going on here. And this is perfect timing. And this is like her favorite. I think you would rather have Doug Roberts on than Janet Yellen. Because
I do, because I think we're going to get more of a straight,
yeah,
a straight opinion on.
So
what's
we've had Doug on before, but as soon as Peggy knows something significant's going on, she calls on this gentleman, and we're fortunate to have him again today. Doug Roberts is with us today. He is founder and chief investment strategist of Channel Capital Research. com. He has contributed to AOL's Money and Finance section and is frequently called on by the media, such as us, as an expert on the Federal Reserve. His book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success, he outlines his proven approach on how you can make money, I guess, following the Fed. So we're going to talk to him today about his thought of what's going on since QE officially ended yesterday. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Peggy. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you with us again. So I think that QE was kind of much ado about nothing. It hit the market like a cotton ball. any thoughts on the end of QE? Are you glad?
I don't think it really, you know, at this point it was kind of expected. It was factored into the market. The real question is the future. If we have some type of weakness, is the Fed prepared to reverse policy and go quickly in the other direction? That's really going to be the question, because right now, you know, this seems to be made up for by the additional QE that's coming from overseas, from some of the foreign central banks. And in that case, as we're phasing out QE, they're actually accelerating it. So it more than makes up for the difference, you know, from what's happening here. The real question is, if the economy in this country starts to deteriorate, is Fed going to either stay put, not raise rates, or are they going to, you know, reverse direction and possibly either continue with the next round of QE3, or if you want to call it QE4, if it's absolutely necessary? Right now, we seem to have kind of a stalemate between hawks and doves on the Fed, with the doves slightly in control. And that's really the danger and what's causing all the volatility in the markets, is when we come out with a hawkish statement, the market gets into a funk, when basically the market comes out, you know, when one of the Fed officials comes out with a dovish statement, it goes to euphoria. So actually, the market is almost bipolar based on Fed statements.
Yeah, in fact, and I think that they're going to kind of change a little bit as we're going forward, right, in terms of the makeup of the Fed. It's kind of like the Jets and the Sharks from from West Side Story. Right now, it's more of a dovish Fed, but it becomes, as some members roll off and others roll on, it becomes more of a hawkish Fed next year, correct?
Actually, the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
Right now, the two major hawks on the Fed are Dick Fisher and Charlie Plosser.
Yeah, they come
and
off.
They go off the,
right.
They come off the Fed next year. Now, the interesting thing is, you figure pretty much the stalemate, they're replaced by new hawks, and at that point, you know, it kind of stays the same. Now, the interesting wrench that's thrown into that equation is one of the more hawkish reinforcements, if you want to call that, was Jim Bullard of St. Louis.
Right.
Yet he came out with an extremely dovish statement. So it's not unusual. We've seen this with Carter Lakota, who, interestingly, you know, the Fed governor from Minnesota,
right,
who actually registered a dovish dissent. When he first came on, you know, the Fed board, he was considered to be in the hawk in the mold of Dick Fisher and Charlie Plosser. So right now we have a somewhat fluid situation. And if actually Jim Bullard remains kind of in what I call that hawkish, dovish corner, you may have something with the Fed actually becoming even more dovish. Nobody's really certain, because if you had told me a month ago that Jim Bullard was going to come out with that statement, I would have said, you know, the odds are extremely against it, yet he did.
Yeah, in fact, and I guess his statement was that he could see the possible need for additional stimulus in the future if certain conditions warranted, right?
That was correct. And he also was one of the people who said that maybe the Fed should reconsider this time, even ending the current program of QE, which, you know, was almost a done deal, even among most doves as well, which was highly unusual.
Yeah, that is unusual. So now, all right, QE ends. Bob McTeer wrote an interesting article. I guess he's going to give a speech today.
Yeah.
Somewhere. And I'm sure, you've reported on Bob many, many times, former Fed member out of Dallas. Did Mr. Fisher take over from him? Did Richard Fisher take over?
I believe it was. I believe it was. He was the current one who took over from Bob McTeer, but don't quote me on that much.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, he made an interesting point. He said, you know, there's always been this argument against the QEs that it led to a lot of money printing. And he says, you know, that they don't want to hear that Fed has been printing bank reserves and that banks have held on to a large part of those reserves without using them fully to fund new loans and investments, and thus it did not unleash the money multiplier. Do you agree with that? I mean, because that is usually the knock on the QEs is that, oh, they're printing all this money, and because of that, we're going to have this awful inflation. And what Bob was saying is that, no, it printed reserves, and the reserves stayed right in the banks. Is that true?
I think really what you're talking about, Mike, is you've got to divide that question to really two parts. The first part is, has the current program of QE and really targeting the federal funds rate been successful at so-called trickling down to the economy? And I think the question is, you know, the answer is it hasn't. For that very reason is basically it's been really focused really on, market assets, financial assets, which you really can't control where they go. Versus basically bank reserves, you can actually instruct a bank that if they want access to these funds, they've got to do something with it. That's much more difficult when you're targeting open market operations, which includes QE, as opposed to previously when they targeted the discount rate, and really they used the banks as the primary conduit to basically inject money into the economy. Then you could direct it much more. Right now, you've almost kind of said, we're going to sit there and pump money no matter what you do, in which case the banks can conceivably hold on to the reserves, not lend. But at the same time, the money has to go somewhere, so it inflates asset prices, which benefits a certain segment of the economy, which are really the people who own financial assets, which are indisputably, as you say, the 1%, or even actually in this case, the 0.01% of the economy. So there's been very, very little trickle down with QE. On the second point that you mentioned, the real question becomes is what you can do about it, and that gets back to really, you have to go onto the fiscal side. The Fed can really basically do triage. It can't come up with a long-term prognosis for the economy.
Yeah, and because it really, you're right. You're exactly right, in my opinion, and I've said this before. I've had a couple economists disagree with me, is that we have somewhat of an artificial market that's been stimulated by the Fed, and that small percentage of America that owns a lot of the stock, they've really benefited from it. But it doesn't look like we really have seen a lot of inflation out of this. M1 and M2 measures of money supply have actually slowed over the past year, so we aren't on the verge of an inflationary blowout. So it looks to me like QE has worked. I think the question goes forward is what Mrs. Yellen's going to do in the future. And I like, if you'll stay with us, I'd like to get your opinion on that. So we've got Doug Roberts with us today, folks, founder and chief executive strategist of ChannelCapitalResearch.com. Doug and I will be back in just a few moments. Stay with us.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We're going to go back to our guest and ask a few questions about that. We've got with us today Doug Roberts. Doug serves as founder and chief investment strategist for ChannelCapitalResearch.com. He's a contributor to AOL's Money and Finance section and is frequently called upon by the media such as us as an expert on the Federal Reserve. He's written a book, and you can go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or go to the Barnes & Noble store, pick it up. It's called Follow the Fed to Investment Success. He outlines a proven approach that he takes you step by step And he's got a strategy that helps you make money based upon the information of the Fed. So go get a copy of it. Anyway, Doug, one of the things we were talking about QE in the first segment. One of the things I'd like to talk to you about now is the parsing of words and how important it is for Janet Yellen to say certain things. You know, the considerable time, I guess, phrase is what I want to talk about. Because there's been no definition of what considerable time is. When do you think interest rates are going up? What do you think the Fed is thinking? Do you have an idea there?
At this point, I think, right now they're talking about it. If anything, it would probably be no earlier than the end of probably 2015. And I think it could be later. I think right now what the Fed is trying to do is to leave their options open, because there are indications, you saw it in the GDP report, that the economy, various segments of it, are somewhat weaker than basically the initial indications. You saw that also with the employment numbers as well, both the initial claims numbers this morning and the prior employment report. And the Fed doesn't really want to rock the boat. Janet Yellen is trying to maintain a consensus. She's trying to kind of, if you want to call it, broker a truce between the hawkish wing, who we've mentioned, Dick Fisher and Charlie Blasser, and basically the dovish wing, of which she herself is part of. And at that point, she's kind of making compromises to keep that. You saw that really with the language. She wanted to keep in the considerable time. She also did not want to give any guidance as to basically when rates would be raised. But at the same time, in order to make the hawk happy, she phased out the current phase of QE3. So at that point, you'll notice that was reasonably successful, in the sense that basically Charlie Ploss and Dick Fisher concurred with this statement, whereas in the prior statement, they dissented. The flip side of it is she had to make somewhat of a concession from the doves by really not focusing too much on inflation and saying, as a result of the data that we see now, this so-called idea of creeping deflation from Europe, it doesn't seem to be manifesting itself. That disappointed some of the doves and essentially the market a little bit. They became concerned that really the Fed is not addressing this, and this is something that can come on quite quickly and then create a situation where the Fed is stuck behind the eight ball, similar to what happened in 2007. But that's the price she's paying to maintain this consensus. So I think long term, aside from the minor language, aside from these things which make people nervous, she's not really in any rush to raise rates.
I know she hasn't been Fed chairman very long, but Miss Yellen's been around quite a while, and she's a very, very bright lady. I remember a comment by Alan Greenspan that, he understood about 96% of all the financial reports that were put in front of him, and the 4 or 5% he didn't understand, he just went and asked Janet Yellen to explain it to him. So I know she's got a lot of credibility among bankers and financial people alike. What kind of grade would you give Janet Yellen, and do you think that she is going to clear her own path? Do you think she's going to follow along what Bernanke has laid out, or do you think, for instance, if she has to come in and do a form of stimulation, will we see something different than the QEs?
I think at this point, right now, she is trying to carve out her own path. As you say, she's quite bright, and she's also a bit more understated and cerebral than both Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan. She's, I think, a little bit less political, but, Fed chairman by nature have to be political, in some respects as well. The problem that she has is she's been dealt with a hand where right now it's essentially the Federal Reserve monetary policy, which is kind of keeping the economy, the financial system from disintegrating. So she almost can't make formal fundamental changes without the cooperation of the legislative and executive branches. And at this point, they don't really want to make too many moves, primarily because there are elections coming up. And,
right,
as we saw previously, when there was discussion, I think, with the prior Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, that Congress is perfectly happy to pass the hot potato of economic policy to really the Federal Reserve. So you're stuck between what I call, really bad situation where you can kind of say principally this is not our job, but then, you know, nobody addresses it and the economy starts to fall, you know, into serious problems, to serious issues, or you kind of do deal with the hand that's dealt with you. Right now, I think the Fed itself is trying to make reforms in the banking system, so to a certain extent, the U.S. economy is less insulated to kind of reverse some of what happened during the 90s and the 2000s. But at the same time, they need the cooperation of Congress. So even though they're trying, they're somewhat limited. They can't do it all by themselves. And Janet Yellen realizes that, and she's not the type of person to get into brinksmanship and say, well, if you don't do your job, I'm going to let the economy fall into the abyss.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like you're in agreement to what she's done. When interest rates go up, and I don't know if you have an opinion on this or not. I know you do a lot of research on the market. In fact, in your recent commentary, I think your analysis of the labor market is spot on. As you look at the economy and interest rates going up, you know, we hear a lot about interest rates being increased. As you said, we're probably latter part of 2015. Some people are saying 2016 now. They kind of keep pushing that down the road. I don't think rates are going to go up much even when they go up. Do you have any feeling about this? I mean, you know, we talk about interest rates going up, but they're so low, they could go up a point. We'd have our interest rate increase, but we're not going to have a big impact on the marketplace.
I think at this point, despite what's being said, it's not going to be a repeat of 1994. It's going to be more like moss growing on a tree. It's going to be very, very gradual, and they may actually even reverse themselves during that process. Now, they don't want to do too many things to rock the boat. So at that point, I think, you know, you could see a small increase when it happens, see what the reaction is, and they may even skip a meeting before they raise it again to see what the reaction is. And even then, you know, figuring if, you know, even if you just sat there and raised it every other meeting, you know, that's probably about 5-6 times in the period of a year. If you raise it a quarter point each time, what you're talking about is going up to maybe 1-1.5% in a year period of time, and that's not, you know, as you say, that's not a huge impact on the economy.
Yeah, no, it isn't. Any thoughts? I've got about a minute to go. Any thoughts on what they're going to do in Europe? Are we going to see some kind of quantitative easing package over there?
That, I think, is really what's keeping rates down here. Is right now, as long as the dollar is relatively strong and relative, you know, we're looking at increasing interest rates rather than decreasing them. A lot of the money's flowing over there, and then therefore they have to keep, you know, going, and I think they will.
All right. Hey, Doug, thank you so much.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you for being with us today and for sharing your insights. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Thank
Always
you, sir.
A pleasure.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.